Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Hello, and welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I am your host, Father Scott, along with Tony Willamitis.
Salvete.
Yeah, and the other guy?
William.
Not here.
He is not here.
Indianapolis.
Yep, he's in Indianapolis. He's we've had several episodes without William. Mm-hmm. Feel somewhat bad about that, but he's doing cool stuff down out in Indianapolis, and he's finishing up time at the SEEK conference, SEEK 2019. So if you Google SEEK 2019, you'll come upon the conference homepage, and there's a bunch of recorded talks by big name, all the Catholic big names, you know, the Scott Huns and the Father Mike Schmitz and the Curtis Martins and all those people, and all very inspiring, of course, sponsored by Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which employs one of our previous guests, Joseph O'Loughlin, and Anise Yarborough, and others. And anyway, so he's out there doing that and finishing up. Sounds like it was a great 5 days. 17,000 young people. College students, older people than college students, learning, growing together, being spiritual, doing faith-filled things.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, it is a big number. Yep. And they're out there in Indianapolis. It rotates different cities every year. Of course, we were just out there not too long ago, and I think we talked about our experience at one of our favorite cigar bars called Nicky Blaine's. If you're ever in Indianapolis, go to the Circle, downtown Indy, to Nicky Blaine's. Very cool 1940s style lounge. You might run into a professional athlete or two if you're ever down there smoking a cigar. Wonderful little place.
Yeah, and Indy, by the way, is very difficult to get a hotel room at any given time of the year.
Because
there's so much going on in that little
town. Well, you know what it is. There's one sport that dominates, and that is basketball. Lots and lots of basketball. High school, college, professional, you name it, and it's always drawing people into the city. Because, you know, it's state law that you have to know how to play basketball if you grew up there. So I naturally grew up there and learned how to play basketball, but it didn't end up being my favorite sport. I'm December baby, so I'm more, as you know, and as the listeners know already, more of a winter sports guy. So I'm all into the skiing and the skating and the snowball fighting.
And teaching Texans how to ski.
Teaching Texans how to ski lately. Yeah, what a great holiday break, man. Up in Ski Santa Fe, tons of powder and lots of mountains. I was checking on the snow reports this morning, and all the mountains around New Mexico are getting good snow. Even Sandia Mountain, for our local listeners, is open on the weekends. So I don't know. Man, it's been years since I've skied up there. I'm going to have to go up there and do some skiing.
They have more snow than they've had in such a long time.
It's such a
reason,
blessing.
You know the reason they didn't open it sooner?
I don't know.
Because they couldn't get the county to come up and plow the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I saw on the TV.
No kidding. Huh. People couldn't get up there. Well, it's important. You know, you have to be able to get to the ski resort if you're going to go skiing, unless you just want to hike your way up there.
That's right.
But so, yeah, a lot of good stuff, man. If anybody is listening and they want to learn how to ski, I'll be happy to take you up to Ski Santa Fe or another mountain, and we can make that happen. You know, we were talking also last night, Father, about how important just physical health is in our spiritual life. You know, we always focus on the life of the mind or the life of the heart, but the life of the body is just as important. And that was proven when Jesus came down to earth in the flesh, the incarnation, right? He wouldn't have come in the flesh if the body wasn't an important part of creation. So I like to think of my time up there on the mountain as a spiritual action, even though I really just enjoy sliding down the slopes on my two planks of wood, otherwise known as skis. Yeah, good times.
That's good, man.
So yeah, it's good times. So then Will's out there. We're missing him. You just did the last podcast without either one of us. Neither one of us were here, Will or myself. And that was with Father Jim Marshall.
Father Jimmy Marshall, and who is going to be back, because we're going to do a whole program dedicated to the smoking of cigars. Speaking of good health. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of the body and good health, smoking cigars.
Yeah. So anyway, he's going to be back, and we're going to do a whole show on cigars. But he and I will be heading out Wednesday for a few days. We're going to go down where it's warm, down the southern part of the state, where
Las Cruces,
like 70 degrees already, and we're going to play some golf.
I'm surprised you're not going to Phoenix again.
We are next month.
Your favorite go-to. So you're going to head down to the border.
Yeah.
Is that where you're heading to?
Yeah, it's only 2.5 hour drive from here, right?
So yeah, that's not bad at all.
So we're going to play some golf and then be back on Friday. We're going to be back because Colonel Steve Garcia, shout out to him, is retiring from the military service. And so we are going to have a big, military ball for him. It's going to be a ceremony and a retirement party. So I'm going to be there. Father Carney's going to be there. Father Marshall's going to be there. We're going to say the prayers, the invocations, special blessings, the whole bit. We're going to give him the full everything.
Wow.
You know, everything
that's remarkable.
We could possibly do.
What a lucky guy.
Yep. To give him, send him off, you know, into civilian life.
Yeah, where's he heading after all of this?
Well, he's going to be living around here. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Playing
he's
golf working with somewhere. You guys, probably.
Yeah, could be.
Good for him. Well, shout out to him. Yeah, that's great. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, Happy New Year, everybody. Mm-hmm. Now that we're back on, back into the new year.
Let me mention something real quick.
Great holiday action. What's going on?
Yeah, because I'll forget. Last week's program was our 50th.
Was it really?
Yeah,
so you and Father Marshall, inaugurated the 50th episode.
Yeah, but I didn't remember.
That's cool.
I didn't know. I just did the show.
Happy 50th anniversary! And what a cool way to celebrate the anniversary with Father Marshall's presence. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. He's of course pastor down at San Clemente in Los Lunas, New Mexico, and so we're always happy when he can come up here. Yeah, I'll have to listen to that. I haven't listened to the whole thing, but it sounded good at the beginning.
Yeah, funny guy.
Yeah, funny guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a couple funny guys, and I think they both did the podcast last week. Well, so Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everybody had and is having a good Christmas season. Of course, we're going to take this all the way to the baptism of the Lord, which is next weekend. And just a little, fun fact thing. I remember Christmas season. I think it's on the Extraordinary Form calendar still. Correct me if I'm wrong, Father Mosier, if you're listening, but we would go until February 2nd, traditionally, which is the Feast of Candlemas and the Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus. True. So, been shortened a little bit in the new calendar, but all the same, Christmas is a season. It is not just a day. So I'm always grinning when I see December 26th people throwing out their Christmas trees. Now, look, if they're natural trees and they start to fall apart and they're a fire hazard, then take them outside the house, you know?
Yeah.
But keep celebrating, you know? Nothing wrong with that. We just celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany yesterday.
Yep.
I know some families, even in America, that give gifts on Feast of the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I lived in Italy, I think the Epiphany lined up with a little cultural tradition in Italy called La Befana. And it was this old witch woman known as La Befana who would actually give gifts. Yeah, it's a very strange combination of things.
It's not like Lyle. Different. What's our witch lady that goes?
Yeah, La Llorona. Yeah, I don't think
she doesn't give gifts.
She doesn't give gifts. She takes little children when they're in the ditch bank. That's the myth anyway. So yeah, keep giving gifts, keep being good to each other. My gift to everyone out there, including you, Father, is going to be all year long. My gift is just to be nice to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. North yeah. America. I noticed that I didn't get you a $500 box of cigars or anything.
No, but you brought me this natural Padron 7000, which I'm appreciative
of. It's the old standard. Have you smoked anything good over the holidays?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Have you smoked anything good over the holidays?
I mean, is it?
Well, we could do this, and then, while you're getting that lined up, your cigar review, mm-hmm. Also wanted to mention that, of course, tonight is the national championship football game mm-hmm. for NCAA. And we're into the NBA. We're into the NFL playoffs. And you and I were watching a review of a game last night while we were smoking a cigar, which kind of ties into the cigar review because I was smoking one of my favorites. But before we get into that, I wanted to mention that we saw Philip Rivers, quarterback for the, was it L.A. Rams?
Yeah, the Chargers.
L.A. Chargers. Is it L.A. Chargers?
It is L.A.
Okay, because they were San Diego back in the day.
Last year they were the San Diego Chargers. So this year the L.A. Chargers, and all the announcers and everybody else keeps accidentally saying San Diego because you've been saying that for how many years, you know?
Yeah, long time. Right. In fact, Philip Rivers, a good Catholic boy. He has how many kids? Eight kids or something?
I think eight or nine.
Yeah. And there he was again, as he has been seen on interviews, wearing a ball cap. And on the ball cap is a Latin phrase, two words. It says Nunc Chaepi, N-U-N-C, and then the second word is C-O-E-P-I, Nunc Chaepi. And so you and I were wondering what the heck, we're trying to remember what that meant. And we used Google, which knows everything, and remembered that it was actually a phrase given to us by a Father Bruno Lanteri, who was the founder of the Oblates of the Blessed Virgin Mary back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And the phrase, coming from one of his spiritual writings, Nunc Chaepi, means now I begin. And the point behind it for Father Bruno Lanteri was the idea that, okay, we've sinned in our past and we've made mistakes, but we have to keep getting back up. And that's what makes a good saint on the earth, is not one who is perfect, but one who knows how to get up and keep moving forward, not looking backwards. And so his Nunc Chaepi motto, right, was for the disciple of Christ who wanted to get up, start over, and say, now I begin. In other words, now I begin moving forward once more, following after the Savior, and not remembering my past, but remembering my destiny. So, and there he is, Philip Rivers, wearing this hat, Nunc Chaepi, very Catholic concept. And, it could be maybe thought of as, here he is with like maybe an athletic motto or something. But I'm guessing it gives him a lot of opportunities to evangelize people.
Now, I can't remember it was either Saint Alphonsus Liguori or Saint Claude La Colombiere who said, a saint is a sinner who refuses to quit.
Yeah. There you go.
Nunc Chaepi, baby.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And to that end, I found you might find this funny. I'm also, besides my other work with ski instruction and, of course, faith formation at the parish, I also happen to operate a little Latin club for St. Thomas Middle School once a week. And the kids love it. Kids, it's funny. We think Latin, dead language, blah, blah, blah. No, not so much. Especially if you talk to Father Reginald Foster, the American priest who is has been the Vatican Latinist, who will tell you that that's just a bunch of malarkey. If Latin was spoken by so many people for so many centuries, surely it's not dead. And to that end, though, I found a number of phrases, if I can pop them up here real quick, a number of phrases in Latin that might be fun for the listeners to participate in. So first of all, the common greeting is either vale, which means hello, hi, mm-hmm. or salve, which is a more formal greeting. Mm-hmm. Then you've got other phrases like, do you speak Latin? Locurisne Latine is a question. Locurisne Latine. Mm-hmm. How about, how are you? Quid agis? Quid agis? That's singular form. These are all singular forms. And then how about long time no see, which we could say to each other because it's been so long since we've seen each other. Quantum tempus. Quantum tempus. Long time no see.
Yeah, I can see.
Isn't Latin fascinating? And then here's your final kicker right here. Well, of course, let me see if you can figure this one out. If ubi means where, Ubi sunt latrine?
Lubi?
Ubi? Ubi sunt latrine?
Where's the bathroom?
Where's the bathroom? There you go. That's a sweet, very... Latrine. Of course, you need that one.
Latrine, right?
Yeah, latrine. Yeah, you're going to need that one. And then finally, this might be fun. How about mea navis volitans anguilis plena est? Obviously means my hovercraft is full of eels. There you go. Now, wow. I haven't figured out any Latin for cigars or cigar smoking. Oh, there you go. That was my phone telling you how to pronounce what I just said. So I have not no Latin phrases for cigar smoking yet, but a lot of cigars have been smoked. Mm-hmm. Not by me though, per se. I haven't smoked a cigar in a couple weeks because I've been skiing so much. Smoked my Milano last night. And as I was telling you, Padre, it was like a whole new experience. I'd almost forgotten what the flavor was, but then it occurred to me by the end of the cigar, what I love so much about those cigars is that it's like walking into a country Western store that sells leather boots and leather saddles. And you know, when you go in there and you just smell all that nice mellow leather.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that cigar tastes like.
I love
like.
Walking into Dan's Boots and Saddles.
That's the one I was thinking of actually here in Albuquerque. Yeah. That's what those cigars taste like.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Such a great experience. Okay.
So by the way, for my gift, because we exchange gifts here in the rectory.
Yeah.
I gave Monsignor Doug Ron a box of those Milano.
No kidding. Yep. I'm excited to hear what he has to say about them.
Well, he told me he came into my room the night after and said, "Oh, Scotty, those cigars are fantastic."
Hey.
You know, and you know how exuberant he is, right? So just exuberant, right?
Telling you.
Yeah,
it's not the cigar aficionado cigar of the year multiple years in a row for nothing.
He gave me some cigars, an assortment of things, okay? Mostly
I see that. You have a whole tray full of cigar bands, bro.
Now, by the way, he gave me this is the Fuente Opus X, which Father Marshall and I were talking about last week. This is considered to be the cigar.
Okay? No kidding.
Yeah, and this is about a $30 cigar. He gave me, there was two of them in the box.
Wow.
It's about a $30 smoke.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
The label looks elaborate.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you, it's like I was saying last week, the ring gauge, a little thinner than what I'm used to, but the burn was so amazing. I mean, it was just, there was no runners whatsoever. It burned right down to my fingers.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Well, for $30, it better.
Yeah, better.
Better keep that thing hydrated the right way.
Okay, I also smoked a punch, which was good.
Standard punch, yeah.
Yeah. I smoked also the, I'll get to that in a second. I smoked a Don Tomas Clásico.
Haven't seen that brand yet.
Good cigar.
Huh.
Now, how expensive, I don't know, but it was a good cigar.
Are these all natural wrappers, would you say?
These were darker.
The more Maduro kind. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, let's see, I smoked also because this was a gift given me by General Ken Nava. Shout out to General Ken.
Hey, shout out to the General.
Yeah, because he gave me a nice bottle of wine and a box of cigars, so I was very happy. So this would be the Hoyo de Monterrey, the Reposado.
Wow.
Was very good. Okay, and I still have a couple of more in the box, you know, that he gave me. So
yeah, nice.
I'll be reviewing those later.
Absolutely.
I also smoked the, in the box that Monsignor
good
gave
night.
Me, the, I smoked the Hemingway Classics, Fuentes, the Arturo Fuentes.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, so I smoked the Magnum. This would be the Magnum R54 and also the Hemingway Classic. Excellent cigars.
Goodness
and I
gracious.
Still have many more in that box that
my
he gave
goodness.
Me. And then also I smoked this would be the Gurkha. Now, this one I bought for myself.
Sure.
I smoked this at the Havana House. The Gurkha Cellar Reserve. Okay.
How is that one? Yeah, I think I've seen that one reviewed in a magazine once.
Well, I can tell you it's truly balanced to please the aficionado who is searching for a draw of perfection.
So saith the label.
Aged oak aroma.
Mm.
I do this for William's benefit.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
He's very critical of my cigar reviews.
Well, he's got a particular, you know, way of reviewing cigars. It's very fine and delicate.
The aroma will soothe the environment and gain praise, which is true because when I was smoking the cigar, everybody in the cigar bar was going, "Wow, that's amazing." And they were praising me for smoking it.
Really? Because you had purchased it or because it just had a
smelled
good aroma?
So good. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. 18 years of aged tobacco and dedication. This very fine print.
Wow.
I'm having a hard time reading. Has given us another masterpiece to which only the elite blend masters of K... blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's too small to read. Too small.
How big of a... how many dollars do you have to throw down for that cigar? That Gurkha?
I don't know.
Gurkha?
That was so many weeks ago. I can't remember.
Sure, it wasn't a $30. Not as expensive as the fancy.
No, but I can tell you, it was a $20 cigar.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my that's my thing there.
That's great, man. Good for you. You must have really gotten hooked up with a lot of good things there for
but
Christmas.
But these are Toro Fuentes, I'll tell you, like this Hemingway Classic. Yeah. You know, I saved the wrapper, and then also the other one, the
Magnum.
Oh, very good, very good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good to know. I'm going to have to search for some of those labels when I go to the cigar shop lot next. That's wonderful. Well, hey, you know what? We actually have a little trivia quiz to do.
Oh yeah.
And so if you're ready, without further ado, I'm actually going to deliver the trivia, and we're going to see how many of these you get.
I'm the only guy playing. All right. Well, let's do it up.
It's true. It's all on you, bro.
Okay, man.
So this trivia is going to be
if I bomb, I'm just going to edit it all out.
That's right. You can just delete this segment. So without further ado, cue the trivia music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this trivia quiz. Has like 25 clues on it, questions, riddles. We're not going to do 25. I'm just going to pick a few. How many should I pick? How about six?
Well, let's do.
We'll pick six.
That's the number of
that's
the
a
beast.
Pick six. Pick six is a football term. Pick okay. six, right? It's so when six. You intercept and you go down for a touchdown.
All right.
So pick six. And
by the way, did you see the Lobos? The New Mexico Lobo basketball team?
No, the basketball team. That's another thing that's going on right now.
They blew out the number six team, Nevada.
Mama mia. Man, go Lobos.
And not just beat them, but I mean just slaughter.
If you haven't seen a Lobos basketball game in the pit.
That's pretty cool.
You are not living. You got to go check that thing out, man. And there's not a bad seat in the house. I went there not too long ago with some friends saw a game. And it was up on the terrace, you know, like in the place where you walk around and so forth. Not a bad seat in that house, man.
It's a fun
place. It's cool. All right. So this is Christmas Carol themed trivia. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read some
lyrics,
some clues,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to describe the title or the actual song.
Okay.
Okay. They're going to describe some element of the song that's related to the title of the Christmas Carol.
And then
so
I
these are all
to...
Christmas carols that are, you know, common.
So I have to name the song. Is that it?
So you give me the title.
Okay.
I will give you, I'll give the clue.
Okay.
So here we go. You ready? Mm-hmm. So the first one, let's do this one. This will be easy. Here's the clue. The lad is a diminutive percussionist. This is a Christmas carol or a Christmas song. The lad is a diminutive percussionist. So you have to think of another term for percussionist.
Well, yeah. So a little drummer boy.
There it is. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I got you.
Little drummer boy. There you go.
Yeah.
Now.
I was thinking Led Zeppelin or you know, the Who, Keith Moon, you know, John Bonham.
Exactly. So here's another one. Wanted in December, top forward incisors. Incisors.
Okay, say again.
So wanted in December, my top forward incisors. You know, incisors.
Yeah, the teeth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wanted in December. Do you know this Christmas song?
No.
All I want.
All I want is...
For Christmas is my two front
teeth.
There you go. Yeah, that was a little harder.
Yeah, that's hard.
So that one's not exactly a religious
song. And I don't like that song anyway.
Sorry about that. Okay,
that's
how about...
a stupid song. Really is.
Okay, so... Let's try this one. 288 Yuletide hours. So if you do the math there, divide 288 by 24. So 288.
12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Let's see. How about Let's see here. Oh, this one is for the Feast of the Epiphany.
Okay.
We are Kong, Lear.
King. We three kings.
There you go. Good. Yep. And not Cole. Good.
Don. What about Don King?
Yeah.
Martin Luther King.
Outstanding. How about this one?
Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King. You could use that clue too. How about this one? Assemble everyone who believes.
Assemble
everyone who believes. Assemble everyone who believes.
Oh, assemble, not assemble.
Assemble, like.
Oh, like assemble.
A summoning.
Yeah, gather us in, we gather together, I don't know what.
O come,
Emmanuel.
No.
O come.
Those who believe.
O come.
All who believe. O come, all
ye faithful.
All ye faithful. There you go. Good. See how this works?
Yeah, it's pretty hip.
Let's see. Let's do two more. How about two more?
Oh, sure.
I'll try and keep it. Try and keep it easy here. Mm-hmm. Listen, the winged heavenly messengers are proclaiming to
angels. We have heard on high.
That's a pretty good guess. They have "Hark the Herald Angels Sing,"
Hark
but
the Herald
I think you
angels
could go either
sing.
Way. You could go either way with that one.
Okay.
You could go either way with that one. And then all finally, right. How about this one? Vehicular homicide was committed on Dad's mom by a precipitous darling.
The St. Stephen's Day Massacre.
No, goodness gracious. This was one that I think Willie Nelson sang this song or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be Blue Eyes Crying in the
Rain. No, vehicular homicide was committed on Dad's mom by a precipitous darling.
Baby,
Grandma?
The Beatles. It's the Beatles, Baby, You Can Drive My Car.
Oh, my goodness. This is how it...
Okay, Grandma just got hit by a reindeer.
Grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
That's another stupid song. Another stupid song. You know the worst Christmas song in the world?
Gosh.
The
yeah.
worst ever is by Paul McCartney.
What?
That song,
Simply
Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Oh.
That's the worst. It's the worst.
How does it? I forget how it goes.
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Ask me why I know the words and the melody.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're saying, well, if you hate it so much, why do you know it so much?
Must not be too good.
Because it's one of those songs that sticks in your brain and it won't leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Well. There is that.
And I'm a McCartney fan.
Yeah,
don't
I know
get
you
me
are.
Wrong.
I'm
yeah,
surprised
right?
you're even bad-mouthing him, man.
I'm a Beatle guy, right? So
I'm surprised you're bad-mouthing him. But not everybody likes all the same Christmas songs. But I know people who, no sooner than Christmas is over, they're wanting to listen to Christmas music again. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
But there are so many beautiful Christmas
hymns. Oh, yeah. The hymns are really wonderful in the church.
Yeah.
The tradition of Christmas hymns we have are really wonderful and rich. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so, well, is it is it time to get into the gospel?
I believe
that's
it is.
That's the other part of what we do here.
I believe it is, and we celebrated this past week or weekend the Epiphany from two words, epi meaning on, and phani, which I think the root is phonia, which means to appear or to be made manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a manifestation of God.
So I pointed out, there was a really great article that appeared on, I forget who wrote it, but it was on New Advent the past few days. And Epiphanies really does mean the manifestation of the divine, right? So yeah. Antiochus, the old emperor, Antiochus IV, mm-hmm. actually referred to himself as Epiphanies because he believed he was the appearance of God on earth.
Which is a pretty bold claim.
And his followers called him, I believe it was Epimenes, meaning pressing up against the brain. In other words, they called him crazy. They called
That's
him insane.
Funny. That's pretty funny. See, you see how fun Latin is?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just little twists of letters and pronunciations, and you have a little pun.
Okay, you want me to read?
Why don't you go ahead? This is coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2.
That's right.
Matthew's telling of the arrival of the, what we say are the three wise men and the three kings.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe there were three or were there more?
Well, there's plenty of discussion to be had there. We'll have to get into that. Of course, you know, as we'll see in the text, there's no mention of the number three, but it is a plural form of the word. And that's where we know that there's more than one. And of course, it does mention three gifts, as you'll notice, too.
I think there were four, though. I think Elvis was there. He's the king
of
rock and roll.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hey, hey, Jesus. Hey, blessed mother, came to see Jesus.
He was Christian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, by the way,
did he have a Catholic background by any chance?
No. But Protestant. But my understanding, I don't know if this is true or not, but my understanding is that when he died, they found his diary.
Yeah.
And page after page after page of letters written to God begging forgiveness.
Wow. Wow.
Which to me is an awesome thing.
It's a beautiful
thing. And if he did do that, I'm telling you, he's going to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's a movement of the soul towards the Lord.
Even if you're, that's what Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say, is even in your last breath, even if it's your last breath, say, please forgive me, Jesus.
Okay, here we go. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage. After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and then they opened their treasures up and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. That's it.
Yeah. Well, beautiful. Well, there's, you know, it's a well-told story. And every time we treat these retellings in scripture through the liturgy, it gives us opportunity to maybe peel back another layer, or just to be reminded of, you know, the layers of the Christmas story. And by story, I don't mean anything other than true story, right? And then, of course, there's the little bits and pieces that you gain as you grow older. One of the things I hadn't realized until maybe not that long ago, that in this telling of the Magi that come from the east, you know, they're coming from the lands of the Middle East, actually. But that is to say, they're coming from Iran, ultimately. They're Persian. Mm-hmm. And they were astronomers/astrologers, but not in the horoscopy type sense that we mean today. But they were actually people. They were presumably men who were students of all of the ancient manuscripts, who read, who studied, who were learned in the ways of math and the stars. And
they were scientists.
Absolutely. And so this is why we have come to call them wise men, right? We've come to call them Magi, though, comes from the Latin word magus, which is the root of the word magician. Mm. And so while they weren't doing any kind of magic, per se, and I think maybe magic even has its, you know, with that root word magus, probably just relates more to understanding of the sciences, such that there's manipulation of the sciences in such a way as to seem somehow, you know, supernatural, right? Or beyond natural. These guys, though, were simply, you know, studying prophecy, right? Like that great prophetic passage in Isaiah chapter 60, I think it is, in the first reading of the day, that foretells the arrival of those from the east riding their camels and dromedaries, coming from the lands of Sheba and Seba and so forth, bearing frankincense and gold.
Now, would these guys be familiar, though, with the Hebrew text, with the Old Testament?
Absolutely. I don't think so. I'd have to think that unlike scientists of our modern day, there wasn't, it was the opposite of an antagonism toward Christian literature. They would have considered Christian literature probably reliable source material for someone who wants to study history.
But this wasn't Christian yet.
No, they would have been
studying the Hebrew text.
Well, in fact, but my point is that nowadays in the realm of science, you have this great antagonism to anything that smacks of religion. Not understanding that even books like the Bible are actually more reliable historical sources oftentimes than what you find in other writings. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and I believe it.
And that kind of ties up with our show that we did where we talked a lot about the Dead Sea Scrolls and the importance of those those scripts and those manuscripts that were found, you know, back in the 1940s in Qumran. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so back to this current passage, though. It kind of helped me connect dots when I understood they were coming from Persia, that they were these, you know, scientific fellas that were studying the stars and ancient writings and prophecy. And then, of course, setting out to find who they understood would be the Messiah. And what an incredible moment you can imagine for them to be having arrived upon this understanding that the Messiah was, in fact, coming at this moment, right? By their study of the planets and the rotation of the stars and so forth and prophecy, they were faith-filled and maybe even inspired, right? We have to say that they were inspired to physically move westward to go to Bethlehem to look for the Messiah that had been foretold for, I mean, how many thousands of years?
And it's very possible that these guys, whether it's 3 or 10 or 20, it's quite possible that they did not know each other and that they all met up at some point on the road searching for Christ.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which is a pretty awesome thing, you know.
Yeah.
This guy that lives in one part of the world, you know, has this, you know, revelation. This other guy living in another part of the world having a revelation. They go and search and they hit, you know, they run into each other, bump into each other in the middle of the desert. And
yeah.
What are you doing out here? Well,
right.
Let me explain. That's why I'm out here.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that cool?
Yeah, what a beautiful thing. And then not to mention just the way that it lines up with ancient prophecy, like we just mentioned, you know. There was in the passage of Isaiah the foretelling of these men coming from the east and then bearing their gifts. And then, of course, the fact that those gifts would be related to who the Messiah was going to be.
Yeah, now, right? What do those, do you know what those symbols, I remember a long time ago, but you know, I start forgetting things after a while, but the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there was a reason for those gifts.
Right. In fact, so this all ties into who we understand Jesus to be as Messiah, as God who, you know, is incarnate, who came in the flesh. The Word becomes flesh, just like the prologue of John's gospel says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. So he came in threefold title, right? We know as priest, prophet, and king, right? Mm-hmm. And so naturally working our way backwards, we know that the king would be the one who would receive gold, right? Gold is fit for a king. And you see that even in Solomon, you know, the great King Solomon who built the first temple, and he had all this gold, and he built the temple with, you know, lined with gold, and so much so that you could see it shining in the sun from miles and miles away. So gold is fit for a king. And the frankincense, of course, just like we know in our liturgies in the modern Catholic life, frankincense is used in the liturgy, and incense is used in the liturgy. And so frankincense is given to Jesus, the Messiah, the baby Jesus, as priest. And then finally, the myrrh being given to him as prophet, because a prophet is one who witnesses. And ultimately, Jesus witnesses to salvation, to unconditional love, and to who he is as the one come to take away our sin and give us eternal life as prophet, right? Now, why myrrh? Well, it'd be a strange gift for a baby and his mother to receive myrrh, because myrrh is a burial ointment, right?
Yeah.
And so what it was foretelling that the Messiah would be a suffering servant who would die for his people. And that was foretold in Isaiah. Right? The suffering servant, not something that people could grasp clearly. And it probably remained a mystery for Mary and Joseph as they were raising their child. Why the myrrh? Although, you know, of course, it would not have caused them doubt doubt of God, but might have been a point of growing understanding and revelation as they understood you know, even when they went to the presentation and presented their child in the temple, it was Simeon who said, and you too, pointing to Mary, you too, a sword will pierce your heart, right? Your heart also a sword will pierce. So in other words, this was going to be not an easy salvation, but it was going to be a perfect salvation.
That's right.
And that's where the myrrh comes from. So myrrh for his being a prophet. Gold for his being a king, and frankincense for his being a priest.
Now, I wonder if there's any tradition that we know of that, or, you know, maybe something we'll find out when we die is that that myrrh that they brought was actually the same myrrh that Mary took to the tomb. You know, to,
that
to
would
annoy.
Be, wow. I
wonder if there's a tradition somewhere that we don't know about.
Yeah, I would have to think there is. Yeah. I would have to think there is. What a beautiful concept. And it would make perfect sense, right? Because Jesus is all about, God is all about fulfillment, right? Fulfillment of his promises, fulfillment of his covenants, fulfillment of prophecy, right? And that's why we know Jesus is the Messiah, is because he fulfilled all of the prophecies that were foretold about the Messiah. No other person that claimed to be Messiah could accomplish that but Jesus. And this is why we know he is the Messiah, you know? And what a beautiful thing then, like I said, for that to line up, because then you have all of the typology aspects of it, mm-hmm. right? The foreshadowings of it in the earlier scripture.
And his coming and his birth are so foretold in the Old Testament, you know, yeah. from Isaiah to Micah to the Song of Solomon, you know, the Songs of Solomon, there's Song of Songs, you know, and
right.
and just endless, just so vivid and yep. so beautiful, pointing right to this child, you know, his birth and right. his presence among us.
Absolutely. Well, and I wanted to get into something to segue into part of your homily in a second. But before that, I might mention that I also wanted to point out in this passage how the three, or what we consider by tradition, the three magi, who by tradition have names, by the way. And historically, we mark abbreviations of their names over the doorways of our homes and classrooms and so forth with a little blessing. And that's where you see usually the numbers and letter combo. Mm-hmm. It goes something like this. You take the first half of the millennium that you're in. So it'd be 2-0, right?
2-0.
And then a cross or a plus, what looks like a plus sign. Mm-hmm. So a cross. And then you mark the three letters B, C, and M, each with a cross in between them. So you'd have 2-0, cross, B, cross, C, cross, M, cross. And I don't know if we do it in that order specifically, but it's Balthazar,
Casper,
and Melchior.
Melchior.
The
right.
traditional names given. That's all from tradition. You can't find that in the written word. And then another cross after the last letter, and then the last two numbers of the millennium. And here we are in 19, right? So if you see that marking, that's exactly what that's marking, is the blessing of the three kings or the three wise men over the doorway.
Now, you see people do it with chalk over just on the what do you call that strip above the door?
The door frame, the door post.
Frame, the door post. So with chalk, you know, you write that. Some people, though, choose not to write on their, you know, woodwork. So Leandra Padilla had, she showed me a picture, and she went and got a little chalkboard,
yeah.
You know, a real cute little thing on a rope, and yeah. hung that. Okay. And the reason for that, there's a practical reason to it. It's to remind us. You say, well, why do we do this? Well, every time we leave, and it should always be done on the front door, every time we leave, when we go out into the world, we should be doing what?
Seeking. Seek conference. Seeking. Let's see all these things kind of colluding
seeking
here.
Seeking Christ.
Seeking Christ. Searching for Christ in our neighbor.
So it reminds us as we leave, we look up and go, I'm going into this world to
That's beautiful.
Search for the Lord.
Well, so the three magi then went and found their way to King Herod, right? Into his palace. And they were welcomed in, of course, as these learned men and kings themselves. And here they're arriving upon at his turf, as it were, and talking to them about how they're going to look for, you know, the king, right? The newborn king, the king of the universe. And King Herod, of course, being the very prideful, self-inflated king that he was none too pleased to hear about this. So he very slyly tells them to come back after they find him and report to him and just kind of, you know, let him know where he is so he can send his congratulations to the family. Of course, the three kings, the three wise men were inspired to understand that there was something sketchy about that request. And at the end of the gospel, we see them going. It says here in the passage very, very cleverly, it says, they departed for their country by another way, which I've always found very metaphorical. Yep.
A metaphor.
Oh,
it's metaphor time on Holy Smokes.
Ultimately, what they're doing is they're avoiding Herod, right? Because they were inspired to know that maybe they shouldn't go tell Herod where the newborn, you know, child is, where Jesus is. And thankfully so, because we know that, and we celebrated a few days later, right? I think it's on December 30th,
28th.
Yeah. We celebrate the massacre of the innocents, that King Herod instituted because he had caught wind. And of course the kings never told him exactly where he was. So the Holy Family has to, wake up after a dream that Joseph had and flee to Egypt, for a short time to avoid the massacre. But Herod, of course, was jealous and, wanted to find the king and ends up slaughtering the innocents. But, the three kings, the wise men went by another way. And I thought this is always very metaphorical. Because if you think about it, when we find Jesus in our life, we aren't the same, you know, kind of like Nunc Chaepi. Now I begin, right? Like we were mentioning earlier, when I find Jesus, I can no longer be who I was before. I can no longer dwell in my sin. I can no longer think little of myself anymore because I myself am given a destiny of being priest, prophet, and king by That's my right. own baptism.
That's exactly it.
You know, and so I'm no longer just, you know, an average Joe. I'm a member of the royal family of God, one of God's children. And so I also have to go by another way, right? I have to return by another way, as it were. I have to get up and move out and be someone different than I was
before.
That's
a great point, yeah. right? That is a great point. You have to choose, or you have to take now a different route, a new route, a safe route.
A better route.
A better route. Well, when I say safe, well, yeah, it brings up another discussion because the Lord said the road that leads to heaven is treacherous, you know, filled with many dangers, but few travel, but it's the road that leads to salvation.
Absolutely.
But that's a whole other discussion.
That might be a whole other podcast. Now, coming back to what you were saying in your podcast. Your homily, I mean, we're doing the podcast. It's all blending together now. In your homily, if I can remember what I wanted you to draw upon, you were talking about how the three wise men and the arrival of the Magi is noteworthy because you no longer have Jesus and the Messiah just being available to the chosen people, right? First, he arrives to the chosen people, right? He makes himself available to the chosen people, mm-hmm. and they either accept him or reject him. Mm-hmm. And there were many that accepted him, and mm-hmm. there are still many that reject him, mm-hmm. right? Sadly, and this is why we pray even during the Good Friday services, we mm-hmm. pray for all of those chosen people mm-hmm. that have not yet accepted the Messiah. We pray that they will, because right. He's the fulfillment of the Jewish faith, mm-hmm. the faith of the chosen people. But when we celebrate Epiphany and the arrival of the Magi, what we're celebrating is that Jesus came for all people so that we are all now part of the chosen people, even if we be Gentiles.
That's right. So the Lord made a covenant with his people, the chosen people, the Hebrew people. The promise made was made to them. Mm-hmm. He gave them the law. Okay. He established a covenant with them and them alone. Right. So this covenant, which is a complete and total giving of God to God giving himself to the people, and the people giving themselves to the Lord. But this again was a covenant made with the people. Okay. So, the Hebrew people, I mentioned this at the homily, there was a time when they were polytheists because they believed, you know, they had experiences of the real God, the Lord God, right? So, we talk about Abraham, you know, having this experience of the Lord, Moses certainly having an experience of the Lord, right? So, however, they believed that, gods were territorial. So they believed that the Assyrians had their own God. They believed that the Canaanites had their own God. And they believed the Egyptians had their own gods.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but when the Hebrew people were in Assyria, guess whose God they experienced?
The one true God.
One true God. They didn't experience the so-called Assyrian God. When they were in Egypt, who did they experience?
The one true God.
And when they were in Cana, who did they experience?
The one true God.
So eventually they figured it out, okay, that there is only one God.
Yeah.
Now the God, I want to put this
go
out.
For
the,
it.
The God who they experienced wanted also the Assyrians to experience him. The same God wanted the Canaanites to experience him and the Persians and the Ethiopians and the Celts and the Anglos and the Asians and the German speaking people and everyone. And this is what the incarnation and that's just, this feast is all about. Our Lord revealing himself to everybody and making a new covenant. And the old covenant came to a close when Jesus was nailed to the cross. That's when the new covenant was actually consummated. It was made when Jesus was celebrating the Last Supper. This is the covenant in my blood, the new and everlasting covenant. Okay, and it was sealed, consummated when Jesus died on the cross. The new covenant started, but it wasn't just for the Jewish people. It was for everybody.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is.
And no longer, I'm seeing some really beautiful artwork in this regard. You know, from what I recall, I remember seeing one where Jesus is on the cross and surrounding him are all the people throughout history of every race and nation, you know, right. You know, you can see the different ethnicities and the faces of the people gathered around the foot of the cross. And I think it's really beautiful symbolism of what we celebrate in the Epiphany, in the arrival of the Magi, that all people are called.
That's
right?
Heaven.
That is heaven.
I'll tell you, where you see this is in Medjugorje.
Really?
Oh, I kid you. I haven't been to any other, well, except for Mexico. I've been to
Guadalupe.
Yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm. But I've been to Medjugorje one time, okay? And I got to tell you, I'm walking around. I'm up on the hill where the apparitions allegedly, you know, take place or took place, you know, the early days, okay?
Yeah.
But now whether you believe in Medjugorje or not, I don't know. But when you're walking through or up on the hill,
yeah,
you pass, there's a group of people from Germany praying the rosary in German. You walk 10 steps. There's another group praying the rosary in Italian. You walk 10 steps. There's another group praying the rosary in Korean. You go 10 steps. There's another group from America praying in English. There's another group 10 steps up from Mexico praying in Spanish. You know, you go 10 steps up, there's another group from, you know, wherever praying their native tongue. And I'm like this, and you know, it's so beautiful and it all seems to be like, you know, it's just, I'm like, this is heaven.
That does sound like heaven.
It is. The coolest
thing.
That's
exactly what we would look forward to seeing and experiencing, right?
And everybody's praising God and praying to Our Lady and loving the Lord. Mm. No, we're not fighting, throwing rocks, cursing each other. Condemning, it's just prayer. It's awesome. Everybody gets along, you know, and beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I was taught this phrase, and I pass it on to even my students when I'm speaking about these things. And I always say, you know, heaven is an already, and it is also a not yet. Mm-hmm. Right? We always think of heaven as a not yet, but we can have it as an already. And in fact, the church teaches us that the church is the kingdom of God on earth, right? It is a gathering of people from all races and tongues and nations, right? To be united in God and therefore united with one another.
And when there is division, okay, just to go negative for a second.
Sure.
When there is division,
yep,
it's caused because some group decides not to follow or to alter or not to live up to or to change or whatever. The truth.
To be their best self, right? Because to be who they're called to be.
And that's to live in the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every one of us is given a new dignity, right? By our baptism, by which we say we are also made to be priest, prophet, and king.
Right.
And therefore we go by a different way, like we were saying, and we become something new, new in Christ, right? This is the beauty of his incarnation and the redemption we have of ourselves. I've, you know, Matthew Kelly, the great Catholic author, who's an Australian, keeps using the phrase in all of his writings, best self, right? Be your best self. The best version of yourself, I think, is the way he says it. Be the best version of yourself. That's just one way of terming it. But we would say, you know, we become new creations. This is why we receive a white baptismal garment at our baptisms, is to remind us that we are made new, we are made clean, we are made pure, not by our own deeds, but by the grace of Jesus Christ won for us, you know, through the salvation and his death on the cross.
Right, but we have to collaborate. You know, God gives us the grace. We have to collaborate and cooperate with the grace.
Yeah.
Because of our free will, we have to make that choice. So when we decide to and make the choice to live in the truth, to be united to the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth, and to keep his word and commandments and obey him, That's when we become the best we can be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I love these. I love this concept, or not concept, but the analogy, or what do you want to call? Maybe it's a metaphor. I don't know. But the actions of the first of all, like we said, like of the wise men or the magi going out to seek Christ, right? Finding him. The scripture says they opened up their treasures to him, right? And can't we find in that a little metaphor for ourselves to open up? What are our treasures deep down inside of all the things we might have? Well, I mean, we might actually have treasure, right? And so this matches well with the church's call to tithing, right? To giving of our gifts, 10% of our gifts mm-hmm. to the Lord. But also the treasure that we all have, whether or not we have money or assets, we all have our heart, right? The thing we treasure the most, our own very own heart. And can we not open up our heart to him? And what's he going to do with it? Well, he takes the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And he saves the world, including us. Mm-hmm. So we open up our hearts. We give our hearts and our love to him. What is he going to do with it? Is he going to take it and keep it away from us? No, he's going to multiply it by 100, mm-hmm. make our cup runneth over. And furthermore, he's going to save the world with it. Mm-hmm. If we but open up our treasures to him.
Well, and he's never outdone in generosity.
No, absolutely not.
So if we open our hearts to him, how much more does he open up his heart to us?
Mm.
That's what you're saying.
Right, absolutely. And we become our happiest, most fulfilled selves.
Isn't that true?
In that process.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
We become even better. And he includes us then in his royal court for all eternity. And this is, what I always see as a prototype in Mary being crowned as queen of heaven and earth, right? He crowns his mother as queen of heaven and earth. She's just the prototype for what we will happen for us. We also will be crowned as princes and princesses, I guess we might say, or whatever level of, the royal family we might participate in, but we're made to be royal, and have royal dignity,
yeah.
Which is a lot more than the world's offering. Right, the world doesn't offer that us.
No.
The world can offer us temporary fame, temporary fortune, and temporary pleasure, but God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, can offer us all those things eternally.
Well, how can something that is so limited give something so permanent? It can't.
Yeah,
the world is limited. The world is short-lived.
Right.
This planet may not be here forever.
Yeah. Exactly. Think of the beautiful dichotomy here that you kind of can almost visualize. Here we are around the Christmas season, rushing around, right? Maybe if we're caught up in a secular life, we're rushing around chasing, purchasing and consumption and consumerism and materialism. And here's this dichotomy of the kings bringing their gifts, right? They're valuable gifts, opening them up to the Lord, and the Lord going to transform all that into an eternal benefit as opposed to just one that's short-lived.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so how are we doing there, bro?
Yeah, good. That's pretty good stuff. I feel very inspired by your homily and the comments you've made today.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So we're almost at a minute. An hour, 56 minutes. That's pretty good, right?
An hour and 56
no,
minutes.
No,
heaven's
no,
sake,
no, no.
That we went really
minutes.
Long.
56 minutes.
And all without Will today, too. How did we manage that?
I don't know.
How did we manage that? Well, we're...
How do we live without him?
We hope...
Let me count the ways.
Last little bit, I wanted to... this might be something to ponder. It's something I'm going to be pondering. There's a lot of speech in the readings leading up to Christmas and Epiphany that speak about the stars, and the stars played a pivotal role. And I see maybe God also using that as a little bit of an analogy or metaphor for the way we're made to think of
that's like 10 metaphors.
Ourselves.
That's like the 10th. That's like the 10th, maybe.
Made to maybe think. More. I know there's a lot of them in here, man. I'll tell you, the scripture is rich this time of year. You're rich all year round, but certainly these tellings are very mm-hmm. rich. And I think about the importance of the stars and the radiance and the brilliance and the light. Maybe the next time we look up at the stars, we can find some connectivity to our Creator who made those stars and the destiny He's pronounced on our lives.
That's awesome. And by the way, you want to do something really cool in the summertime? Now it's a little cold. If you live in anywhere, well, I'm sure you can do this. If you're listening in, maybe you're in Wisconsin, I don't know. I'm sure you can find a place to do it there too. But in the Southwest, And in the Rocky Mountains, if you're in a place like Utah or Colorado or Arizona or New Mexico, just an hour from where I'm sitting, you go out in the summertime to the Jemez when there's no moon and lay on your back and look at the cosmos, look at the stars. And you get an eye. First of all, you get an idea of how small you really are.
Yep. That's right. Know? That's reality.
And then you get a sense of the awesomeness of the Lord.
I think you should write a song.
Yeah. The awesomeness.
I think you should call it something like Our God is an awesome,
awesome God.
Yeah. You should write a song. Get Rich Mullins to sing it. I'm telling you, that's money right there. That is money.
Not one of my favorite tunes, I'm sorry.
Well, I figured it doesn't sound very Beatles-ish. No. You know. Probably wouldn't be up your alley, but it was actually I remember that song being important to me as I was growing up and when it first came out. There's another great artist, speaking of, who was a Christian, and he had an unfortunate, I think it was a plane accident, died, but there was signs that he actually was pronouncing faith more and more in the Eucharist in his journaling and his writing. In fact, Rich Mullins, the author and singer of Our God is an Awesome God.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And it's a little ironic. About a week before he died, he had written an article in a Christian magazine. I think it was Christianity Today. And it was all about the Eucharist and the body and blood of Christ. And I was thinking to myself, is Rich Mullins becoming Catholic? And then a week later, I heard that he died. So I think there's hope for him. And maybe he's shining bright like the stars in heaven as we speak. And
now, by the way,
able to intercede.
Speaking of stars and the Eucharist.
Yep. Tonight.
Hold on. Albert Einstein.
Oh boy.
He studied how light travels through the universe. He had a fascination with the Holy Eucharist, the theology of the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know that?
I did. No, I did know that.
Okay, now speaking of stars.
Okay, speaking of stars, speaking of light, and speaking of the Eucharist.
Yeah, we have
another podcast.
That's right, the Catholic Beef.
You have another podcast. I haven't been participating in it too much.
You've been skiing.
I've been skiing. But I'll hang out with this podcast. We're going to record one later today.
Yeah, so
it'll come out soon.
It's going to be part three on the Holy Eucharist.
And it's called The Catholic Beef.
And it's with Robert De Pasquale. The guy's brilliant.
He is. He's a brilliant apologist.
And then Gary Padilla.
That's right.
Catholic. Revert. He's a revert to the faith.
He is a revert to the faith. And so we're going to be talking all about the Eucharist part three on that. So listen up to that one too. Mm-hmm. If people want to help us build a church, what should they do?
Well, it's very simple. You go on, you got the smartphone thing there. Yeah. You go on the computer and you go to sjvnm.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's, St. John Vianney. It's just SJVNM, .org. Man, that hurt. Did you hear that?
You hit yourself on the microphone.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Cut him off.
Yeah. SJVNM.org. You go to donate, and then you just click on donate, and then you can go down to building fund. Poof. You make your donation,
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to make
you throw in the 10,000 there, the 20,000 there, right?
Yeah.
Here you go. Right?
You just mere bag of shells. And then you click donate and it'll happen like that. And then if you need to get in touch with us, if you want to hang out with us, you want to go to the Havana House, reach out to us at Holy Smokes, email address. And is it Holy Smokes at, what is it? Holy Smokes at
Gmail
or something. If you go to the Holy Smokes, if you're getting the podcast, you'll see there's an email there. Reach out to us, ask questions.
And leave a review too.
Leave reviews. We're on Instagram and other social medias. We'd be loving to hear from you. Shout out to all the kids that came back from college, Ben Walden, Kayla Watry, others that came back. We smoked cigar with Ben. So if you'd like to do the same, reach out to us. If you want to go skiing with me, reach out to us. We'll go skiing and smoke a cigar both.
Well, and if you don't know how to ski, he'll teach you.
I'll teach you how. Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
If you want to learn how to play golf, don't call me. I don't want to go golfing with you. Just don't bother.
I'm not sure you could teach him how to play golf.
Well, I need lessons, actually. Hey, if you can teach golf and you want to teach me, call me.
There you go.
All right, everybody. Well, have fun. Talk to you. And next week, by the way, did that make any sense with
you? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So one more week of Christmas.
And the baptism.
And the baptism of the Lord, yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.